We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. This is Bob Arthurs, and we are blessed to be the pastors of Merit Assembly of God. Pray that you're having a great day. If you need help with your air conditioning here in central Brevard County, if you need help with that and you want to deal with a Christian company, I want to encourage you to call Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. That's Bill and Drake. Heidi is our worship leader. That's Bill's wife. And Bill does a wonderful job of taking care of AC situations. He knows how to fix things up. There are some listeners that have called in the past, and he's been able to save them a lot of money over what they had been told by other companies. And so we encourage you, if you need any help with that, give them a call today and let them come out and take a look at your situation, and they'll give you a good, honest assessment. So we're just a couple of days from our Thanksgiving outreach. I want to ask if you would to pray for us as we get ready to go out and deliver those foods. We don't just want to be delivering groceries. We want to be delivering the Word of God, the bread of life, and it is just a way that we can meet felt needs here in the community. And we know that there are a lot of other churches that do this as well in various forms, various strategies. And so let's pray that nobody in our community goes hungry this Thanksgiving. I think that sounds like a good strategy. So that's coming up. Also on Sundays, our Thanksgiving dinner after the service. I get the right words out there. Sometimes the heart's got a word to say, and it takes a while for the mind to process. But we're going to be having our Thanksgiving service followed by a phenomenal Thanksgiving dinner. This coming Saturday, we have our men's breakfast before we go out and distribute the groceries. So a lot of activity going on at Merit Assembly of God this week, and we're thankful. A lot of times you might think that a church building is only used one day a week. Our facility gets a lot of use. It's used on some Mondays. It's used on every Tuesday. Used on every Wednesday. It's used every Sunday. It's used every Monday, every Thursday. It's used on most Fridays and some Saturdays. Our building gets a lot of use for a congregation that only averages about 50 to 55 on Sunday morning. We want to make sure that the position that God has placed us here in central Brevard County, that there is an adequate testimony of the grace of God that goes on there. So if you'd like to come out, be a part of our Thanksgiving festivities this week, we will be meeting and having that great time of fellowship. There is no Sunday night service this week, so that we can begin to prepare for Thanksgiving and rest and get ready for the Christmas season. So those are coming up, and you need any further explanation about the announcements, you can call us at 454-4263, and we'll answer those for you. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're talking about things that God wants to deliver us, deliver out of our lives. And it says in verse number 12, "But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. So we're still talking about people's behavior that we do not want to duplicate or emanate, because they are headed in a destructive pathway. If they do not repent and change course, it's going to have a very devastating end, and God does not want that. Here is one of the things that becomes very dangerous when these sorts of behaviors end up being inside the house of God. It talks in verse 14, we've talked about eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. It goes on and it says, enticing unstable souls. Enticing unstable souls. And here is the thing. These people conduct themselves in the same manner that the devil does. The devil already knows his fate. The devil believes in God and he trembles. He has already been judged. He has already been cast out of the presence of God. His future looks very bleak, because all that awaits for him is the lake of fire. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was not created for man. Man only ends up there when he chooses the devil's destiny for his life instead of God's destiny for his life. And the thing about that is, hell ends up being cast into the lake of fire if you read the book of Revelation. But the devil is not just content knowing what his fate is. He has turned all of his focus and all of his attention upon that particular aspect of creation that was created in the image of God. You see, every time the devil looks at man, he sees the image of God. And don't take it personal if he fights against you at every turn. He just hates you because you remind him of God. That's the reality. And so he is trying to drag as many people into his future destiny as he can. He knows that he's not going to be able to dethrone God. All he is trying to do is inflict pain upon God by dragging mankind to hell, as many of them as he can. And the behavior that these people emanate, that we have been talking about for quite some time now, is, it says here that they try and entice unstable souls. They try and entice unstable souls. In the Amplified, I believe it says something like this, that they bait and entrap. They bait and entrap. And so I ask you today, if the devil was to set a trap for you, what bait would he use? If he was going to attempt to entice you away from God, what would he use to entrap you? What would he use to entice you? And we've talked about some of this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But if you can identify that, then you need to fortify that area of your life with the Word of God. You need to equip yourself. You need to put on the full armor of God. Somebody ask me, you know, say, hey, Pastor, could you teach on the armor of God? I can do that. I can do that. You need to know what kind of traps you could be enticed in. You know, whether it could be a financial trap, you know, looking for a quick and easy way to get gain. It could be you want to be accepted by a larger group of peers, so you could be entrapped by that. You could be entrapped just because you don't want to do something. You lack motivation, and that could be a trap for you. The Bible talks about that in the slothful man's house, or the lazy man's house, or the foolish man's house, the rafters sag because they are not given attention to. There are details that just do not get focused on. So what sort of trap do you have? Is it your own pride? Is it your own aspirations? What is it that the devil would use to entrap? Because here's the thing. If you can be enticed, it reflects instability in your soul. That's what it says, that these people, that their eyes are full of adultery and they cannot cease from sin, and they are looking to entice unstable souls. In other words, that adultery they're looking to participate in, they're not looking for the next exclusive relationship. They're just looking for the next notch in their belt. They're just looking for the next person that they could infect. They're just looking for the next person that they can damage their self-esteem. They're looking for the next person that they can derail from God's purpose and plan from their life. There was a program that I used to watch called Law and Order. And, you know, whenever I was just looking to unwind, I would watch that. Normally it would be when my wife was out doing things, because she didn't really particularly care for this program. And I watched this one episode, and there was a young lady, and she had been just an upstanding member of society. Just she was a high school student at that time, and she had a romantic entanglement. And by the way, most of those things were some sort of twist on a real life scenario. And this young lady had one encounter with a person, and what she didn't realize was that he was a person who just went from one encounter to another and was infected with HIV, and as a result of that, this girl had one encounter, got infected, and her future life was over, all because somebody looked at her and said, "I believe that is a person that I can take advantage of." You know what? God is not looking to avail himself of your instability or take advantage of the areas of instability in your life. God is looking to fortify those areas. He's looking to strengthen and to build you up. The devil is just looking at you as the next mark or the next person that he could take advantage of. Don't allow yourself to be enticed. Allow yourself to be stable. If I could give a word of advice for the listeners of this broadcast, it would be this: find a church home. Find a church home where you can be planted and established. Don't be running over here and over there and over to that other place and shifting from this place to that place to another place. Take a look at your track record. Take a look and say, okay, what is my track record? You know, when I was trained in management to hire employees, one of the things that they had me look at was the frequency with which a person changed jobs. How long did they stay at their last job? Because you could begin to look at their past and you could see where it was going to go in the future. There have been people who've come to Merit Assembly of God, and I would ask them about their past and find out that they only stayed at this church for X number of months and this church for X number of months. And so, you know, not that I was a looking for defeat. I was a very optimistic guy. I used to think, you know, that I was super pastor, that I was going to be able to cure people of their wandering ways, and that that when they looked at me and, you know, they saw the way that I behaved, that how much I loved people and how much I loved the Word of God and how much I wanted to empower people, that it would deliver them from their instability and their waywardness. But actually what I found out was there is no external cure. Until God works in a person's heart and creates stability there. Creates stability in their mind and stability in their will and stability in their emotions. That all you are in for is a very wild ride. God wants you planted, established, prospering, and fruitful. And all of that comes from a lifestyle of stability and abiding in the presence of Jesus Christ. So that's what I encourage you to do. Find a place and get established. I had a conversation with a person over a period of weeks. This goes back a long, long time. And it was a series of conversations, probably three different conversations over a week and a half or so. And the first conversation, they said that they were going to do A. And then the next conversation, they weren't going to do A any longer. They were going to do B. And the third conversation was they weren't going to be doing B any longer. They were now going to be doing C. And there was just such a wide diversity of things in there. And it's like, which one is it? Which one is it? Which is the path that you are going to pursue? You know, the devil is looking to create instability in your life. If you look at the relationships that the world pursues, I want you to see that that lifestyle and that path of pursuit does not create stability. It doesn't create stable, grounded, fruitful relationships. It produces instability, and people are enticed from one fantasy to another. You know what I tried to do with my kids was this. I wanted to demonstrate to my kids the way that a person should treat them. I wanted to train my daughters to, we actually had daddy-daughter dates. And if you ask them, they will tell you about the daddy-daughter dates that they had and how a gentleman would treat them. Because if I didn't show them how a person would treat them with respect, then somebody would come along and try and entice them with a few compliments. And I want you to know that the standard that my daughters has is a godly standard. I don't believe that they're going to be enticed just by somebody who's a smooth talker that's going to come along and try and entrap them. But that is the dangerous thing about this type of personality finding its way in its church, is they are not there to bless the church. They are looking to weaken the church by enticing anybody who's unstable. And believe me, I believe that God wants us to be stable. It says they have a heart trained in covetous practices. If you remember a few broadcasts ago, we were talking about having eyes full of adultery and how that had found its way into the early church, and it's still in the church at large even now. And here is another thing that is specifically outlined. It is the 10th commandment, and that's thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet this of your neighbors or that of your neighbors or anything of your neighbors. You shall not covet. And it says, but these people have a heart that is trained in covetous practices. That is a very interesting phrase. It doesn't just mean that they covet. It means that they have actually trained their heart. And when I hear the word train in this type of manner, it's like train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart. That's the type of thing that I think about. It's that you intentionally discipline yourself so as to create this mindset or attitude in your heart. They are trained, but not in something that God blesses. They are trained in something that God commands us not to do. They are trained in covetousness. What an attitude of coveting is that it is there is a lack of contentment in what God has provided for us. And so we start longing for what God has provided for someone else. And so we are looking to deprive them of what has been provided for them so that we can have that itch scratched in our life. They have a heart trained in covetous practices. Here's the thing. When covetousness is the reality of your life, you will never reach a period of contentment. There is always going to be a lack of gratitude. We're here in the Thanksgiving season. And as a result of that, you know, there's a lot of talk about gratitude and being thankful and all of that sort of stuff. But covetous people are always looking at what somebody else has that they don't have. They're always looking at what somebody else has that they don't have. And they said, that should be mine. That should be mine. And that's a very dangerous place. If you allow covetousness to take root in your life, you will never be satisfied. You are always going to want more. And this is something that Peter indicates is a heart problem. It is a spiritual heart issue. It's not something that just was accidentally developed. It was trained. You know, there's a young man in our boys ministry, and he talks about wanting to play football, and he's got the physique to play football. He really does. When I'm talking to this young man, I'm talking about, okay, well, you need to set about to train yourself, because a really good football player does not just have the size of a football player. They have trained their body to behave like a football player's body would behave. They train their mind. They train their personality so that they would be able to have self-control. There's a lot that goes into that. There's a lot of training and instruction. Just because somebody has a desire to do it or has an interest in doing it, let me put it that way, just because they have an interest in doing it doesn't mean that they are going to be really good at it. They might have all of the natural skills, but if they have not trained or disciplined themselves in that, they are going to fail at it. Well, if there's one area I would want to fail because of lack of training, it is in the area of covetousness. I am so thankful. I love what Dave Ramsey says. Whenever somebody asked him, how are you today? He said, I'm better than I deserve. Whenever you know yourself and know that God has treated you better than you deserve, and he has forgiven you more than you deserve to be forgiven of, and he has blessed you with just beyond your wildest expectations, then all of a sudden, you realize that it is not about coveting, it is about God's provision. He tells an interesting story that before he had all of the financial insight that he has now, that he had his heart set on a particular make of automobile. And his world, his financial world was all a card game. It was falling apart. There was no stability there at that point in time, and all of that collapsed. And he had his mind. He had this desire. He coveted this one particular brand of automobile, and he got it, and it ended up just being a financial sinkhole. It was not the dream car that he thought it would be. And so he talks about now that I don't believe he buys new cars. I believe he looks for cars that somebody else has taken the hit of depreciation on and stuff like that. But he says that after God began to turn his finances around and began to give him wisdom and insight, and he was in need of a vehicle, and now he was going to be paying cash for a vehicle, and so he was looking around for the best deal that he could get, and it ended up being the same brand that used to be a trap for him. It was used to entice him. It was something that he coveted before, and he realized that this time this particular vehicle, it wasn't going to be because he was coveting that, but it was going to be because God had provided the exact car that he needed at that point in time. And that's what I really want to deal with you about, the coveting aspect. Coveting, it doesn't want to wait for God's timing and God's provision. Coveting is a lack of love towards your neighbor. It is a lack of love towards God. Coveting is a lack of trust in God's provision and his timing. That's where the heart issue comes in. Coveting says, I'll just go out and I will get it myself. And patience says, you know what? I think I would rather wait for God to provide that for me. You know, the house that we have was a house, it was a larger house than we had looked at before. One of our teachers at church says, when God tells you no, you're just as happy as you are as when God says yes. And I got to thinking about that, and it really is true, because we went looking for houses all over the place, and they were, there was nothing wrong with those houses, but we just never were able to qualify for those homes at that point in time. And when God gave us a strategy for our church back in 1999, we said yes. And what happened was, God used that season in our life as we walked in obedience. He provided for us miraculously. Now, I wish I could tell you that I have always had the right mindset towards God's provision and God's timing, but I'll tell you, I haven't. There are things that I wanted, and I went out and I made them happen that weren't in God's timing. Here's what I've learned, though. God's timing is better than Bob's timing. And I want to encourage you today, as Thanksgiving approaches, let's get covetous out of our life, and let's train our hearts to be thankful instead. Father, I just want to thank you right now for every blessing that you have provided. I want to thank you for every good plan that you have in store for the listeners of this broadcast. Lord, we want to be a thankful people, not a covetous people. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You have a marvelous day, and we will see you here tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.